kill the headlights and put it in neutral. Stock car flame. For some reason, that Beck song just popped into my head as I turned my phone off. Car.
So, may I ask you two a question?
You know what?
You can both answer at the same time if you want.
What's going down?
You're on the record. Oh, wait, hold up.
We
hey, what? Bro, what's going down? You're on the recovery.
That miss slacking
on intros lately.
I don't know how to answer that.
That pod. The
pod. Three peas in a pod.
All right, so Anna has that. Something that is on her mind that she started talking about earlier. I had to, because we need to save it. So,
I don't like watching myself talk. It's really bad. So I've just been thinking about how, I mean, trauma blocks a lot of things in us. It blocks our ability. I mean, before anything, the very first thing that it blocks is the ability to just be like your free self, because you don't feel safe to be yourself, because you, when you were being yourself, it was bad. So you're like, okay, I've got to stop doing that. That doesn't work. I have to protect myself. And then it blocks you from freedom of self-expression, and it blocks you, which self-expression is creativity, essentially. So it blocks you from being the ability to be creative and improvise. There's something in your brain that is just like, I know that a lot of people, well, I used to do that too, just like kind of writing about your feelings and stuff and like in creative ways. But there, like, I have the ability to be creative sometimes, but not as much as I feel like I should be, I guess. Like if I get put on the spot or anything, like I cannot think, and I feel like I had more to say, but that's all I'm going to say right now.
Well, like, so like you're saying in this situation, like you got something to say, you say it. Let's say someone like kind of chuckles, you know what I mean? And you have a trauma of being like laughed at in class or something, right? So let's say that the laugh had nothing to do with you and you're free flowing, you're sharing, you're giving a presentation, and something happens that just hits you, like takes you from that moment where you're free, carefree, excited about your presentation to, oh shit, someone just laughed at me. And then you instantly get that wave of feeling like you did when you were in that classroom. Now I'm not present. I'm reliving emotions and feelings, and I'm like self-conscious now about what I'm saying and my confidence and ability to do this presentation. And then I don't just free-flowingly jump right back into some, so anyway, guys, this is what we're talking about. If I can continue it and push through it, I'm fighting past and present awareness. You know, I'm like, so anyway, read a sentence or two. But then I'm like, still thinking about fucking Jimmy who, you know, laughed because, you know, fucking farted in class or something. You know what I mean? Like, it's, you just totally lose that presence and it just takes you out of the now. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, you're talking more of like presenting and, you know, stage fright and all that stuff, which, yeah, that is also a thing. But I'm talking like just in general, be able to have like self-expression, like wanting to just sit down and just kind of express your thoughts, your feelings, draw, like paint, draw, you know, write poetry like you do, write music, you know, just do whatever you want to do to express yourself, because like you're, and that all comes from authenticity, and it's like your authenticity has been blocked. That's what I'm talking about, not where you're like put on the spot or where you have to.
Okay. Yeah.
So That's what I'm talking
about. That's what I'm talking about. I know when I'm trying to write, like when I freshly have gone through a breakup, but I'm not in the feels of the breakup, I can write some fire breakup songs. You know what I mean? I'll write like some raps that really tap into that pain, but I have a free flowing creative part of me. But when I'm going through something and I'm trying to write about that something, I can't do it. Like, it's too real. You know what I mean? It's too restricted. So, I mean, I can relate in that aspect as far as my creativity being blocked. Definitely don't feel the spiritual presence, you know, that I feel when everything is all right and I'm just in the moment. So I think it kind of comes down to presence. I mean, really, what is a trauma response but taking me to the past with feelings or thoughts? So like, obviously, to be present in anything that I do, whether it's painting a tree, writing a rap, giving a speech, anything that's creative, anything that requires my presence and involvement is gonna get altered by a trauma response, because the trauma response takes me out of the now and into the then. Is that better?
Yeah.
I'm not convinced of that, yeah.
Yeah, no, you're right. I just, I was trying to form what I also wanted to say. But here's the thing, like I think about a lot of addicts and like, you know, we addicts especially, we need some sort of an outlet, a creative outlet. The ones that over they've like you've always had it and you still have it and
still got it.
Thank you for that. But there's like a lot of them that it's hard to stay sober when you just don't have it. You don't have any other outlet. Like for me, I don't know what it was. I think first my outlet was like working out, and then it was just like, I just got like obsessed with the whole like spirituality and like spiritual growth and all that. And just meditating and stuff. So now that became my outlet. But there's just a lot of people, I feel like they're struggling because they need that. And they need, so I'm reading The Holistic Psychologist, and she talks about how that is like, that's pretty essential. Because one of the biggest things that we as humans require is to be seen and to be heard. And we have to find ways of doing that. And being able to express yourself, your creativity and all that, like that is essential for addicts, for anybody, like literally anybody. And I feel like that is the part that I'm lacking, is I can't fucking get myself, like I want to, and I could have a lot of like good shit. I used to write some pretty good stuff, but like I can't. So yeah. And I guess my question is like, how can you get to that point? You know what I mean?
Hey guys.
What up?
Man, it's good to be back on the recovery pod. I hear so much good shit. First of all, that I can relate to, and the first thing I can hear is without recovery, without a program, right? Without the willingness to implement a program, trauma triggers can be paralyzing, right? It can knock me into a state of unconsciousness. It can take me out of the solution in a hot second, man. Like, and this is some new shit, man. This is some stuff that I have come to understand as of late, through experience, you know, and I'm real grateful to have, the ability now today to, be able to, due to the way I feel, I can identify when I don't feel right, and I can connect some dots these days. And the only way that I'm able to connect those dots is by, because I can't do it. Let me back up just a second. I can't do that by myself, right? I have to share how I am feeling with another human being or group of human beings in order to get what I need, which is help understanding where the shitty feelings are coming from and why, right? So living in that process, I've gotten to a point now where I'm very comfortable discussing my feelings and how my brain responds to certain situations. And because I've gotten to that point, I'm now able to understand the trauma from my past and how it still, because I'm an addict, has an impact on my today in the now. So with that kind of understanding, I have a big fucking sharp tool to use when trauma tries to take me out of the now, right? I can apply that tool and stay okay today. Now, that can happen fast, but most of the time it takes a little time for me to fucking spin in that unconsciousness from feeling like I've been wronged or feeling like, you know, something isn't the way that I expect it to be, right? So I can really relate to the trauma and how the feelings that we get when we experience things in the now, today, that trigger shit from the past, traumatic events from the past. I can relate. I can really relate to that, and I can understand how that takes us out of the now, for sure. So that right there is the first thing that hit me while you guys were talking, and I already forgot about the second thing. Yeah. There was some shit. There was something else, but yeah, man. Like I feel that 100%. I'm grateful today to be in touch through recovery, through other addicts' experience, and my own experience now dealing with it, to have a plan. You know what I'm saying? Like I've got a plan, and I can lose touch with that plan real quick, real quick, if I don't continue to do the things on a daily basis that keep me in the solution. Because the disease is powerful. You know, like that's the first power greater than myself that I came in contact with was the disease. And that's why I am who I am, you know, and I can acknowledge that today. And I mean, in many ways, in order to surrender to the process, which to me means being willing to apply the solution everywhere the disease lives, I have to respect that disease to an extent. I have to understand the power of that disease, acknowledge the power of the disease. And if I can do that, then I got a shot, because at that point, you know, surrendering to a process that helps me identify the disease everywhere it lives, and act on that identification to feel better in my own skin on a daily basis. Now I'm in the solution at that point, right? Now I'm taking, this is a kind of a strange way to put it due to our little obsession over the concept of surrender. But now I'm taking the fight to the disease. I'm taking the fight to the disease. The disease is not bringing the fight to me. Now I'm bringing it at the disease, and now I have the upper hand today. And that's that shit right there. That's that life changing shit.
That's fire, man. That was good stuff. Hell yeah.
I feel like we're on a meeting right now.
They always feel like a meeting.
I just want to say really quick, I'm really sorry.
No, you're good.
I don't want to forget. So I just want to bring together, like, you were talking about how trauma is paralyzing. And that just got me to think about the other night that I had. Oh, Steven remembers.
I remember.
Like, I was so triggered and I could not, like, move. Like, I was paralyzed. I could not focus on anything. I could not do anything. I tried. I tried calling people. I tried writing. I tried all the fucking things. And I was looking for them externally, but there's everything inside of myself was quiet and empty. There was nothing. So, you know, in order to be okay, you have to find that internally. I didn't have any of it. So I was thinking in terms of creativity and self-expression, if there would be a way, I feel like people, when they get into that state, they will channel all those feelings, all those triggers, all that into self-expression. You know, that's how like a lot of like, I don't know, famous artists like painters and fucking poets, like that is where they will channel all that. That is what they do in those moments. That's how they help themselves get out. That's where they find themselves internally. And I think that is a really important thing to just remember.
Yeah.
But
that's shit.
But I, like, I say this now when I'm like in a good state, but when I'm in a trigger state, I don't think I could remember this, what I just said. And that's just me being honest. So I guess I have to do something while I'm at a good state to work towards that, I guess. Like, Steven, what do you do when you're in a triggered state to feel better? How do you find it internally in you?
It's hard for me. I need to get away from everybody. Like, one, I need to let the moment pass. So what I've learned to do in really just the last couple of years, I remove myself from situations that could damage it further. So anybody involved in why I feel the way I feel, if I'm in a funk, if I have a problem with somebody, or if I just can't socially be around anybody, because me just not feeling the way I want to feel and being as free, creative, free flowing and happy and positive as I'd like to be makes me feel bad on top of it. So if I'm hanging out with someone who has nothing to do with my problem, but I'm not the way I want to be around them, I am then going to even feel worse because now I'm not how I want to be. So first I like to isolate, you know, not cut myself off from everybody, but I need to let the moment pass. I'm not the kind of person who, oh, hey, if I'm having a shitty night, right? I mean, just fuck. And all my five best friends were like, let's go have fun. Let's all get together. That's the last fucking thing I want to do. It doesn't work for me. You can't distract me from myself. You know what I mean? So anyway, first and foremost, I like to get alone. I like to process how all right, there's a whole lot of firsts. So I'm just going to do like a one, then like a, you know, like three pages in a book, like the preface, like, so this is XI. Okay, so before first, I'm going to
anyway
accept how I feel. And that's huge because that's something I never fucking did. I'd resist the fuck out of it. I tried to, you know, get on the enlightenment tip and fake positive myself to death. That doesn't work either. So first, you know what? I don't like the way I feel. I don't want to feel how I feel, but I feel how I feel, you know? So first and foremost, I accept how I feel. I honor it and I allow myself to feel it. Second, I try to get away from people so things don't get worse because my vibe is contagious and I'm well aware of that. And I don't want to make someone else have a bad vibe and then have to start reciprocating bad vibes with each other. So that's second. Then I try to zone out enough. So for me, it's like playing a game, watching a movie, doing something to take my mind completely off of it. Like it has to be able to really grab my attention and distract me enough where I fully drift off and then I come back to myself. Now, when I come back, I'm still kind of upset. The pain is still there. The problem is still there, but the response isn't there. Ooh. The instant, like, trauma response is gone. Now it can redevelop if I start going down scenarios, playing over tapes in my head, acting out what's going to happen, fantasizing, all that shit. It will definitely come back. But at least I have a chance to start at zero again. So I go back to the problem, and then I could see it with kind of fresh eyes, you know? And like I said, I might still get pissed off again. I might still have some response there, but it's not. The initial response is unconsciousness. When I am feeling a trauma response, when I feel like someone's trying to manipulate me, I see the world with a different lens, right? Like I literally see everything differently. Like my vision is fucked. I cannot see clearly. And anything that, like, there's been times where I've been able to kind of shake it, but very rarely, you know, it takes a lot. It takes like a fucking magical moment. The perfect thing said for me to shake it. I usually just gotta get out of that feeling first because everything seems wrong. And then do what I said, kind of accept, process, and return.
Question.
Yes.
When you want to sit and distract yourself, zone out into something, how are you able to focus on something other than this trigger? Because for me, when I'm triggered, I can't focus on anything other than that trigger. I can't focus on a show. I can't focus on a fucking game. I can't focus on anybody unless it's the person that caused me this trigger. How do you focus?
For me, I think a lot of it has to do with the first two things. Accepting how I feel and knowing that I will revisit. So it's kind of like with acceptance. Okay.
Knowing you will revisit it?
Yeah. Like I'm not just trying to. So accepting how I feel makes me not resist it. Uh-huh. So when I used to resist it, I would try to go watch that show or try to play that game with the sole intention of zoning out to make it go away. And it wouldn't go away because I'm trying to make it go away.
Okay.
So when I accept it,
okay,
I'm more or less just trying to get enough of a distraction to get out of that vibe and then come back to it. I'm not doing it to make it go away. I'm doing it to just, I accept it. Fuck, this shit happened. All right. Today's going to be a shit day. I'm just going to try to distract my attention as much as I can to take me out of this. So I'm not, otherwise I'm just going to sit there running in circles. And that's why I said it has to be something that really gets me. If I go rewatch Dexter, it's not going to do it. If I go watch fucking Fantasy Football League, it's not going to do it. But if I go watch like a new show that I'm really into that truly sucks me in and gets my attention, it takes like a good 15 minutes or so or more. But eventually I drift into it. I kind of forget about the world and about my own problems. Then I come back to it and I'll have little waves where I'm like, oh yeah, I'm fucking pissed. But it doesn't hit the same at all. I don't know. Having a conversation, readdressing an issue, an hour late. All right. So let's just say, even if the shit don't take me away, addressing an issue an hour later after my trauma trigger is better than addressing it within the first fucking 2 minutes of my trauma trigger. Like that shit is amplified. Yeah, I don't have a magic answer. I've just found out acceptance, yep, and non-resistance does 90% of it. It does not make it go away. It is not a magic cure to feel better with things you don't feel good about. But it relieves the resistance, which is basically non-acceptance, trying to control, all that shit. So acceptance alone relieves all the pressure. And you can face the problem in reality and say, okay, this is what it is. Let's go.
Does that check?
Yeah.
Okay.
Check this out. I really, really appreciate the discussion. This is awesome. So I'm about to come straight programmatic on that ass right here. Oh, you guys ready?
Let's go.
Here it comes. All right. So if I'm triggered. Okay. If I am triggered, I can accept that that is a state of unmanageability in my life, right? At that point, my life, because I'm triggered, is unmanageable. I can accept that, right? So acceptance goes, for me, been my experience that acceptance goes hand in hand with step one,
right,
of the 12 steps. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if I'm triggered and I can identify that I'm triggered and my brain's loose and I am in that state of unmanageability, right, I can apply my process to that, I can, through identification. Okay. The key cog here is that I'm able to identify my state. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that comes out of a state of consciousness. That is not possible for me in an unconscious state. And I'm grateful that I've had a few 24 hours in a row where overall I'm in a conscious state. So when the trauma trigger hits, when any kind of trigger hits and I find myself diseasing out in my head, I can identify that and say, this is not how I want to feel. I'm here because of how it makes me feel good in my own skin, right? So if I start feeling bad in my own skin in one way, shape, or form, because I'm triggered, which is definitely a bad feeling. We don't like that as addicts in recovery. We choose not to stay set in that for long. We identify it, and then we apply the solution, which in my case is the steps, okay? So if I'm able to see that I'm spinning, I accept the fact that I'm spinning, I'm able to surrender to the process. And at that point, right, because I've come to believe in a power greater than myself that can restore my sanity and accepted the fact that I can't do it by myself, right? Okay. I then make a decision to turn the fuckery over and breathe and stay quiet, right? And pray, okay? And stay quiet. And through that process, I have found that I'm able to recalibrate, man, and literally step out of that triggered state. And that is wild shit for me, because for a very long time, man, I had no concept of what being triggered felt like. I had no ability to identify it because I didn't know any other way. I was doing the best that I could with the experience and the information that I had at that point, right? Which was not a lot. So I'm willing to acknowledge at this point that I have a process that I can apply when my brain spins out due to the disease, that works. And so not only does it work, it works for me everywhere in all my affairs, right? Everywhere I choose to apply the process, which is the 12 steps, okay? Everywhere I choose to apply that, specifically in this specific example, I'm talking about steps 1, 2, and 3, man. Like 1, 2, and 3 can be applied when I spin out, and I can, because I have faith in a power greater than myself, I reap the benefits of applying those steps pretty quickly these days. And that's incredible for an addict like me I was in recovery rooms for 4 years without working steps, without being honest with a sponsor. You know, I kept myself in a state of like, I kept myself in the wheelchair. Every time I tried to stand up out of the wheelchair, some shit would grab my shoulders and slam me back down into the wheelchair, right? And that shit was the disease. And so, you know, now that I've got a process that I can apply, man, like I am not afraid to apply it, you know, like I'm not. And so that works for me. That does work for me. And, you know, being triggered is no fun. Where does the disease create unmanageability in my life? Identification, acceptance, pull the tools out. apply.
Yeah, I just like it just hit me that I have the, you know, the using triggers and the trauma triggers in a separate containers. Because when it comes to the using triggers, I can easily shake them off, like easily, like, I can accept it. You know, I'm an addict. This is just how I feel. I play the tape forward. Boom. But when it comes to triggers, like trauma triggers, when it comes to people, because I have an issue with codependency more than an issue with using. I think I started using because of my issue of codependency, that I can't just shake them that easily. It consumes me. It fucking drives me insane. I don't go using over it, but holy shit, dude. Like, I literally just freeze. And, but like, literally, like you were saying, all that shit can be applied, all the steps, everything within that. Because, yeah, even though it's a trauma trigger, that's still, for me, that's the disease. That's a form of a disease.
Yeah, right.
Because I'm addicted to people too, just like drugs. Mm-hmm. So it's like,
perhaps people are your drug of choice. Perhaps. Yeah.
And I feel you. That's another external factor for me to feel whole, for me to feel okay. And it fucking sucks to admit that right now. I mean, I always knew that, but I never fully, I guess, acknowledged it. So I guess I really just, I have to do what I do with using.
Well, I think too, it would be really smart to investigate tools in other programs, because like in Overeaters Anonymous, Sex Addicts Anonymous, like they have tools, because you can't just stop eating. You know, that's like Narcotics Anonymous having a program where it's like, okay, guys, we're going to teach you how to use the right amount of weed. You know what I mean? Like, so Overeaters Anonymous, like they can't just abstain from food, bars, places with food, events that have food, you know, cannot keep food in the fridge. You know what I mean? Like an alcoholic would have to do. So they have to learn a healthy relationship with food, because you still have to eat. So same with codependency. Like you can't just isolate from people. You still have to be around people. You still have to function and utilize people. Mm-hmm. You just have to, it's a lot harder, because you have to expose yourself to your drug of choice and still continue to and learn how to use it correctly. You know what I mean? And dealing with the same type of trauma responses. So maybe that's something we should all kind of look into and, you know, see what kind of information's out there and bring that back, you know, for some type of follow-up at some point, because that would be good to know, you know, and just share that information with people.
Because I feel like
I've never thought about that. That's wild. That's wild.
Underneath us being drug addicts, I feel like a lot, I'm not saying all, but I feel like the majority is codependent before anything. Because once you take away our drugs and alcohol, then we're codependent as fuck. Like, I can't say the same about you, but majority that I know of.
Well, here's the thing. All right, so try to look at it like this. You're saying you can deal with a drug trauma or a drug trigger easier. You know, like, oh, I can just do that. Just don't use no matter what.
Yeah.
Work what whatever. So when you have a trauma trigger, your drug of choice, and I'm not saying this about you, I'm just kind of looking at it from the outside. So someone's drug of choice is to give into that trauma and, you know, trauma relapse. So it almost is like, okay, I have this urge to feel alone, or I have this urge to cling or to reach out or whatever the urge is to do. You have that choice to, you know, work the program with yourself, with a sponsor, with a friend, however you do it, or you have a choice to give into that feeling, and that's a relapse, right? Would that be similar?
Did you not see my face?
I did.
That was a fucking awakening if I've ever seen one on Anna's face right there of some sort. Please tell me what the fuck, what just happened right there? What was that?
Yeah. So I've been actually journaling about this for a while. And I think that just kind of gave it another like proof of. So I would break down codependency like to the bare bone. And what it is like, it is putting other people before myself, but to a very extreme point where I will put their reaction, their thoughts, their feelings, their entire like existence before my own, and which means that means I pay attention to that first before I pay attention to my own. So if I stay afloat, if I stay above, if I stay observant, I can keep myself and my attention first. I can pay attention to my reaction to my, you know, thoughts before I think about others. But if I start like regressing and relapsing, I will, my immediate default is to pay attention to others' reactions, if that makes sense. I know like that's kind of like, it probably sounds really weird, but in my mind it makes a lot of sense. Because if something like goes down, I will immediately like, my immediate thought is on them. It's not on what's happening with me. And so him saying, Steven saying how like, you know, if I act out on that trauma trigger, that means, you know, I'm using again, which means I'll take all of the focus I have in me onto them, everything. And I won't be able to think or feel myself for that entire time. It's a complete disconnection. And that is, I'm in a state of using. I'm fucked up. I'm gone. So, but if I catch it at the right moment, if I don't let it get out of hand, if I don't completely leave my fucking body in literal terms, I don't have to go that far. Because once I get that taste, like, I'm gone. So, and I can't come back. It's impossible to come back. It'll take a long time.
Are you saying one is too many and 1,000 is never enough?
Yeah.
Ooh, so, okay. Okay. So, drugs are just a symptom of the disease of addiction that I suffer from. So, if drugs are just a symptom, right? If drugs are just a symptom, then I can also accept that the disease creates unmanageability in my life in multiple areas, including drug use. So if I'm able to, you know, identify everywhere the disease lives, I am willing at this point in my recovery to apply the solution everywhere the disease lives. Okay. That can be through drugs, that can be with other people, right? That can be with spending ridiculous amounts of money. That can be, you know, obsessing over what's that?
Sexual intercourse.
Straight up.
Yeah. So nuts.
So yes, exactly. So I have a solution to all these different symptoms. And guess what? It works everywhere. Okay. It's been my experience that if I am willing to do what it takes to implement the solution in a given area that is creating unmanageability in my life. Let's talk about sex in the sexual world, right? If I'm willing to accept there's unmanageability there, that it is creating a state of
non-presence, right, keeping me out of the present, then that's a problem for me, right? So I have a solution to that, and that is, first and foremost, through honesty, acknowledging it, and seeking guidance in that area, rather than saying, you know what, I'm okay, I'm not getting high, I'm not using drugs, so I'm not using drugs, so I'm going to be okay. Because the reality is, if I fucking tell myself that, my disease says, hey, that's exactly what I want you to say, because I'm sitting right over here in this other ballpark fucking you up. And eventually, my friend, you know what I'm saying? Eventually, you're going to start acting out in this area, and then it's going to become unmanageable, and you're going to start acting out in this area, and this area, and all of a sudden, I'm cutting lines on the kitchen table. Yep. Right. Okay. So the solution that I have today is all encompassing, and I'm real, real grateful to have that awareness and to be in touch with the fact that the disease is a punk bitch in the face of our tools. In the face of our tools, the disease is a punk bitch. Okay. So that's
okay.
First. So check this, right? So when we're talking about relations with other people, okay? When we're talking about relations with other people, I found a really powerful 3-word question. What's my part? What's my part? Okay? When I'm spinning on a relationship with somebody else, okay? And I'm getting into the whole codependent trail, walking down that codependent trail, right? What that means is that I need to get the focused back on myself. So what I do is, when I'm thinking about, you know, what's going on? Oh my God, I'm so, you know, I'm spun up on somebody else's bullshit. I'm stuck in somebody else's shit, right? And I'm focusing on somebody else's shit. What's my part? Snap out of it. What's my part? What is my part in this problem? And then I can identify how my character defects are influencing this problem. And if I can identify how my character defects are in play in a specific situation, right, then I have an outlet out, and that is through the God of my understanding, because that's the only way for me, I can't do it myself, but I sure as fuck, I can do everything I can to stay in the process. The process is something I can control. I can make a decision to stay in the process when I identify the disease, wherever it manifests itself. I can make a decision to recover in that spot and pull those tools out. And punk the disease. Once again, punk the disease. And this too shall pass, right? That's the deal for me.
I feel like, so, yes, I agree 100% what you're saying. When it comes to the trust, so that's why it's important to have, I had like 3 things going in my head at once. So when it comes to like dealing with a trauma trigger, you know, that's why it's important to have, you know, people around you who can relate, who've been there, done that, and who also have gotten through that to offer solutions. So when we go to an NA meeting and we talk about our experiences with, you know, triggers with drugs, using thoughts, we have solutions given to us from people we trust with experience, who we know they get it, whatever. When we have a trauma response, we can reach out to that same NA support circle, but maybe they don't understand how we feel in our trauma response. Maybe they don't have a solution for how they worked through a trigger where they felt like everybody was trying to manipulate them or everyone was abandoning them. Right. So we forget that we are trying to rely, or do we even reach out at all? Do we look at that as a, all right, so before I continue there, and I hope I remember to get back, because I was thinking a while back when Anna was talking, because I was thinking of it like, all right, so am I relapsing when I isolate during my trauma trigger? And I would say no. Because me relapsing in a trauma trigger would be me voicing the voice, me talking trigger talk. Me relapsing on a trauma would be me going into that situation with all of my paranoia, my fears, me voicing how I'm being manipulated, and me making decisions in that state, right? So I feel like me leaving the situation to process in the way that I do is not the equivalent of a relapse. It's equivalent of me being having using thoughts that are consuming me, right? Because I can have using thoughts today that will take me out of the present, that will make me really down, that will be in my head and will make me in a funk. But that's not relapsing. That's just
not acting out. Yeah, you're not acting out, right?
Having triggers and using thoughts. So what would people do in that? They'd go meditate. They'd go watch a movie. They'd take a nap. They would phone a friend. They would, you know, not go to the party. So they would isolate. Oh, I'm getting triggered around my buddy who just whipped out a crack pipe. I'm going to leave the situation because I'm feeling triggered that I'm going to take action in this trigger state. So I'm leaving the situation. So I feel like in the moments I leave to not let the trigger voice come out, that's leaving because I'm triggered. But when I act on the trigger mindset, that's a relapse, right?
Yeah, but that means that, like, when I was in that state the other night, I didn't act out on either, because if I did act out, I would say stuff too.
No, and I'm not comparing me to you and saying and that you fuck, relapsed you and I didn't
get it.
Oh, shit.
But I isolated. I forced myself to isolate. I forced myself to just fucking sit through it. But I still felt like I could not, like, move. I could not focus.
So let me go back real quick.
And it's fucking miserable.
I left point B to go back to point A, my first thought. But now I want to go back to the point B.
Yeah.
All right. So in those states, we don't typically reach out because we don't have a specific support circle in that.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're in your trigger state, who are you trying to seek support by? Me.
Yes.
And I am part of your trigger state.
Yes.
I get triggered. We have opposite triggers. I mean, if you listen to the pod, you already know that. So it's really hard for us to support each other when either of us are triggered, because sometimes it works. There's been times she's been a boss about being that I'm triggered and not taking it on herself and really handling.
What the fuck was that?
Damn it. She was like really being a boss about handling it, not owning it, taking it on herself and all that. And then there's been times too where I've seen she's triggered. I don't take this state as truth, respond to it rationally, and I'm able to rise above it and we work through it. But then there's just those times where we don't. So I was saying all that to say it'd be smart of us, and I don't think I've ever really thought of it before tonight, to treat those moments as we would treat a using trigger. If I got triggered by my friend who just whipped out the crack pipe, I'm not going to leave and go phone my friend who just whipped out the crack pipe to support me. I'm going to call my people. So when I'm triggered by her, she's triggered by me. We shouldn't turn to each other because we're the source of the trigger in a sense, you know? So that's where maybe I don't call so-and-so from my NA meeting because he might not be the guy. Maybe the guy who helps me with the trauma trigger isn't even in recovery, but knows how I feel and has a suggestion or two or something. So yeah, I really like this entire conversation of breaking these triggers down, because as much as we've ever talked about trauma triggers, codependency, I think we just fucking unpeeled a whole couple layers.
I think that's some shit there. And I think one thing that hit for me is that, you know, the liberating action there is seeking
outside help, right? Seeking guidance from somebody else. I mean, first of all, I have zero experience in a relationship with another addict. Zero. So I can't speak on that because I talk from experience these days, right? That's what keeps me in the real. And with that said, it does make sense that just like you broke down, Stephen, when you're talking about your relationship, you guys, right, and how you guys interact and how you have to, I mean, like at the end of the day, see, I'm a single dude. So at the end of the day, I can stand on this. I'm here for me shit. And that's powerful shit for me. That keeps me right here. Right. Like I'm here for me. What I get out of helping somebody else is for me. Okay. I help other people because it's for me. Right. Or I share experience because it's for me. But you guys, you know, just listening to you guys talk about the balancing act of, you know, identification of triggering of how each other trigger and shit like that, man, that's incredible to me. And it's like, wow, like it would make sense to me. Again, I am absolutely not qualified to give any kind of guidance on this, but it does sound very, it sounds logical that you guys would have an outlet outside of you guys in order to in order to get what you need to deal with you guys. You know what I'm saying? Like that's that shit right there, man. And that's, you know, to have a conversation where, you know, there's growth. That's what I live for these days, man. That's that shit. That's the magic. What a weird word. That is the magic of being in the solution is having the ability to relate and have conversations with other addicts in recovery and come to these, peel the layers of the onion back. Oh my God, that's some shit we got. That's it. Like I consider those kind of awakenings as gifts, you know, because it shows me how to live. It shows me how this thing works. That's how it works for me, is through being able to relate to another addict, even in a realm like, you know, a relationship between two addicts where I'm way above, that's way above my pay grade. Like, I don't know what, you know what I'm saying? Like, but I can still see the growth in you guys through that kind of conversation, man. And that's what it's all about. Like, we're all here for each other. We can't do this alone. We cannot do this alone. If left to my own doings, I have plenty of circumstantial evidence that I buck and destroy myself, you know? And so that's what this is all about, man. We are in this thing together. And if that means, like, for an individual, if being in this thing together means that the way that individual applies their solution is by pulling back, you know what I'm saying? And being in a state of it's just me and my higher power. You know what I'm saying? That's it. Like, I run to the God of my understanding when the real gets crazy and I'm not able to, man, it's like hit the emergency, the SOS button is go in your room, light a fucking candle, turn the lights off, close your eyes, breathe. You know what I'm saying? That's that button right there. And I sure am
what that feels like to be in the solution enough at this point to be in a constant contact with God of my understanding and to feel the results of that.
Hell yeah. All right, I want to read this one thing. I've been wanting to, and now seems like a really good time. All right, so actually, it's funny we're talking about trauma, because I just saw this today, actually like an hour ago, or an hour before we started recording, on somebody posted what people think PTSD is and what it actually is. PTSD. What did I say?
PTSD.
Yo, this is what PTSD is. Check it. PTSD. Oh, God.
I can't be the episode title.
That shit you can't wipe off with a Brillo pad.
So people put, and I'll even give credit to the memer. It's at what is mental illness with dots in between each word. That's who it is. Shout them out. So anyway, it says, fuck them.
Beautifully timed yawn, Anna. Beautifully.
What people think PTSD is not being able to move on after a traumatic event. That's it. What it actually is: unwanted memories, negative self-image, hypervigilance, emotional distress, sense of threat, intrusive thoughts, avoidance, isolation, memory problems, anger, guilt, and shame, anxiety, depression, excessive blame, disassociation,
my favorite,
easily scared, flashbacks, nightmares, sleeping problems, self-destructive behaviors.
Damn.
So, like, I don't know. I thought that was pretty cool, just to, you know, and it may go without saying, like, once you read the list, you may be like, well, yeah, of course. But when you also look at the one sentence description, you might also be like, on the surface, oh, yeah, you went through some shit. You have a hard time letting it go. But, like, okay, that is true. But also what's true is that, you know, I'm trauma triggered. So in my casual conversations, in my creative moments, in my everyday life, I'm fucking just walking down the road, you know, with my wife on my wedding anniversary, and boom, fucking something crosses my awareness and I'm fucking gone. And like, now I'm fighting memories, I'm fighting responses, I'm fighting feelings, I'm having doubts, I'm feeling guilt. I'm feeling paranoia and worry and stress. I mean, the list can go on and on. So, I mean, when it comes to addiction, when it comes to trauma of mental health or experience, it's important, like you said, to acknowledge its existence, you know, to understand what is it, where is it, why is it, then accept it, then seek a solution. Because when you're talking about the steps, 1, 2, and 3. Okay. 1, I surrender that this is what's going on and I accept it, right? 2, I come to believe it is possible to get through this. That gives you the fight more than flight.
Mm-hmm.
And 3, turning it over to whatever your higher power is. 2, turning it over is faith that is just more reinforced faith that you can get through it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's acceptance. This is what's going on, identification, believing it's possible, because you can't turn something over if you don't believe it's possible. You know what I mean? And then actually turning it over. And then that is, it's not a magic pill. It's not an instant gratification cure that we all want. It is the first step, you know, towards doing, you can't do the work without that. You can't even try to fix the problem without identifying it, believing it can be fixed, and fucking calling a plumber. You know what I'm saying? Like, you gotta.
Yep. I acknowledge my sink's broken. I acknowledge that my sink is broken, right? I believe that there's some fucking plumber out there that can restore the flow of water in my sink. And I'm going to make a decision to call that plumber. I mean, all right. So there you go. all that stuff, PTSD stuff that our friend outlined, what is PTSD to that person, right? Okay. That was a lot of stuff. And when I'm listening, I mean, I'm just going to be real. When I hear that,
Like, what is PTSD? It's a, you know, it's a negative response to a past event, or a negative reaction, not response, reaction to a past event. The expanded definition from our friend here is it is blank A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K. Okay. Like, I can, just from my experience with my PTSD, I can loop every one of those things into one word, I think. And that word is confusion. Confusion, right? Because every bit of that shit spins at some point. Because I haven't, like, if all those things are occurring due to something in the past, I have not identified the sink leaking. I have not found a plumber, nor have I made a decision to call him. Okay. I'm unable to sort that stuff out by myself. Like, that takes the process for me. So I can relate to all those different symptoms, if you will, right, of that past trauma. I can relate to the feeling that it's manifest, like all this shit is manifesting itself because of this past event. And I don't know how to fuck with it, handle it alone. I don't, as an addict, I am an obsessive compulsive human being. So if I don't, you know, I can accept that, like, identifying that, okay, and then implementing a solution is the answer for me, okay? So I feel that, man. I get it. That's a really, I'm glad you read that. I appreciate that. That, you know, end of the day, I'm here for me. And that means that I am able to take experiences from conversations with other addicts, right, and further my understanding of why my disease is as it is on a daily basis. And that takes help from my friends and those that I know and those that I don't know. So thank you. I appreciate that experience.
So I just want to say, like, not all traumatized people are addicts. Yeah. Or have become addicts, like drug addicts, but
that's true. That's,
I feel like all addicts have some sort of a trauma. And we use because of those traumas, because of these side effects, right? Because when I stopped using, I started having all those effects again. I was constantly dissociating. I was having intrusive thoughts. I still have intrusive thoughts, which, you know, that's how my OCD formed. But and it wasn't, like you're saying, if it wasn't for the help of others, I would not have been able to identify any of those things. I was living my childhood, my life, thinking that my childhood was perfect. And I had absolutely nothing to complain about. There has not been a single bad thing that's happened to me, my childhood. I should be fucking grateful. And so as I'm like working the pro, I start working the program. I start, you know, I went into rehab and somebody told me, dude, you need to fucking look inward. You need to look what, you know, because I'd be constantly just, I would, my body would be there. Like when we'd have like, you know, meetings there or would have like therapist circles, they would be saying my name and I would just, it would take me a couple seconds to come back. Like, huh, what? Like, and I had no idea. I had no idea. Something was fucking happening, and I needed people to tell me, hey, this is what this is. I didn't even know that I had extreme like fucking panic attacks until I saw my therapist at 18 years old, and she finally told me, like, hey, you've been suffering with panic attacks since you were five. That's what the panic attack. I'm like, what? So, yeah. Yeah.
Jesus, I can identify.
So trauma can make you confused. It really, and just being able to, it's also, you know, really cool that I can just kind of have days like today where I'm okay. You know, I can be okay. I can do things and just feel okay. And some days I'll have certain triggers where I will not be okay on those days. But before, it was like every day. Every day I was triggered. I would not get out of that trigger because I wouldn't identify that it's a trigger. Hey. But once I can identify that it's a trigger, I can get out of it. So I'm so grateful that I don't have to constantly dissociate. I don't have to. I mean, there are moments where I will dissociate, but I don't have to constantly just live like those symptoms. Like, there are moments where I can just be okay. Like today I have been. So it gets better. And the more I work on it, the more moments I'll have where I'm okay. But it's very important to acknowledge that I will never get to a perfect state. I will never get to a point of I'm cured of these, of my trauma, because I will never be cured of like being able to, you know, casually drink. That will never happen. And so I will never be, not have abandonment issues. I will never not have, you know.
But with daily maintenance,
it will be shit.
Yes.
100%. 100%, man. You guys were the first ones that I listened to that helped me understand that I am not my thoughts. Straight up. Like, straight up. Thought identification. Let's remember how powerful thought identification is and the ability to check out of a thought and to say, you know what? That ain't me. That's the disease. That is the disease, man. And like, I did not have any concept of the power to do that in for a very, very, very long time. And so, I mean, what is a trigger? What is a trigger other than a all-encompassing, powerful, diseased thought, right? And if I look at that, if I look at it that way, okay, if I identify it in that fashion, still a punk. Disease is still a punk. And I still got the ability. I still got the ability to punk that. I got the ability to punk it with the tools that I've been shown. So
I'm gonna I feel like a disease thought, all right, is like getting sprayed with a Nerf gun. You're just a thought, right? And then, you know, maybe getting hit with a few random thoughts or a thought feeling is like getting like a bucket of water thrown at you. You know what I mean? But like a trigger, a full-blown trigger response, I mean, where it's like getting dunked on. You know what I mean?
Where machine gun.
Because I've had thoughts,
hurricane,
vicious thoughts, paranoid thoughts, point of view, whatever. I've had thoughts. They're there, but I'm able to see them. Then I've had a couple things come where I feel myself getting there, like, but I'm still kind of on the wheel. And then I've had it where it's just full blown. I'm fucking there. I do not see, like, not to get too personal, but like when me and her are having our opposite triggers, there's times where I feel, you know, I have the thoughts, but I can shake them. There's times where I have the thoughts and I can still see the other side of her, but my thoughts are winning. Then there's times like the other day, I do not see the other side of her. I don't. I only see what my trigger tells me she is. You know, and for me, it's usually, you know, just not good. It's every piece of evidence I can find to support my trigger, and I see nothing else.
Okay, can I say something?
Yeah, and then we got to wrap it up.
Hell okay. Yeah.
Last thing.
Hell yeah.
So, having that first thought come up is like equivalent to being triggered by using thought, right?
Mm-hmm.
Before you let it get out of hand and believe it, like you see that person for like the bad side of them, or you see the situation as bad, that you have already relapsed when you believe it.
Mm.
When you believe the using thought, when you allow yourself to go use at that thought, when you made the decision to use, that is equivalent to you made the decision to believe that that's how the reality is.
Right.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
And that is all.
Yeah, when you make the decision to believe it and move forward with action, that's the truth. Because it's hard not to believe it in the moment. Just like I might believe I want to relapse, but if I don't pick up, I haven't relapsed, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it depends on the actions you take going forward. Because back then when I used to have those type of thoughts, that the trigger thoughts, I mean, like, no, I know you're up to something. Everything in my body is telling me so. I would just run with it because I wouldn't have had, I didn't even know that there was a separation between me and my thoughts. I thought I was my thoughts. You know what I mean? Even though my thoughts
change
day to day, I truly believed I am my thoughts. That the thoughts that come in my head are intuition. They are how I am. They are facts. If I want to relapse, if I have a relapse thought, that means I do want to relapse. You know, thought identification helped me separate that. So
yeah,
I see what you're saying, and I'm not trying to like say you're wrong. I'm saying if I believe those thoughts in the moment, yes, I have technically like, because sometimes you believe them and it's not a conscious effort, right? So sometimes when I get dunked on, I didn't make a choice to get dunked on. I didn't go jump in the tank, right? So I wouldn't consider that a relapse unless I take it and run with it. Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm trying to say? Do you feel like that's accurate? I don't know. Maybe it's just a little too close for comfort, and it doesn't matter. But yeah, it's all bets are off once I get dunked on.
Well, and the other, I feel that. Goes back, my thought is it goes back to respect for the disease, right? I have to have, I mean, there's a reason why I am who I am and where I am. And that reason is because the disease kicked the shit out of me for a very long time. So if I'm not at a state, and if I'm not in a place where I can acknowledge the fact that some days the disease is going to fucking win and it's going to throw me into a hurricane, right? If I can't acknowledge that, then I'm not being honest with myself. I am not in a place where, you know, I have to acknowledge that. I have to acknowledge that I'm going to get dunked on, right? I play a basketball game with Shaq every single day when it comes to the disease. And at some point, Shaq's going to bring the goalpost down on me. You know what I'm saying? And that doesn't necessarily mean I got to go use, right? That doesn't necessarily mean that I have to resort to my old ways of, you know, I'm just gonna freaking go off the hinge in response to a Shaq dunk on the head, right. You know? I mean, we're using that analogy. So yeah, I appreciate that. Like that's, you know, we're gonna get hit with an uppercut. We're addicts, right? So if you know, to think that I got his ass on the ground licked is insanity. Because you know, if that's the way that I think, then I leave myself extremely vulnerable to getting back into my own will and not doing the things that work on a daily basis to maintain that daily reprieve from active addiction, which at the end of the day is the key, right? Stay clean. You know, like acknowledge the fact that that my disease manifests itself in many ways. But with that acknowledgement, also understand that one of those ways is a fast track to death. Fast track, right? And so probably need to stay focused on that spot more than anything. And understand that Shaq's going to dunk on me in other areas and be okay with that, because I know that I can experience those dunks, right? I can experience getting dunked on in some areas. One of the places that I can't experience getting dunked on is in the drug world again. Like that ain't where I'm willing to let the disease dunk on me, you know? But
you know, no teabag zone.
No, hell no. Oh man. Good shit.
All right, I need to cut it.
Good shit.
I'm gonna stop the recording. I feel like we had like fucking three different pods in that.
That was a monster, dude.
That was a month's buildup of stuff.